Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to another edition of PZ85 Plays. I am your Game Master, Double H, and a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, the Episode 9 of the Star Wars Dawn of Defiance campaign, Sword of the Empire, continued with a Minock infestation in process. Before we get to all that insanity, let's introduce the crew of the Midnight Coterie, beginning with the co-owner and creator of Podzilla 1985, playing Harani Tar. It's Shannon Young.
I'll drink to that. Cowboy shit.
We've also got our resident Bothan spy, Iris Nay, played by Lindsay Wolfgang.
I feel like we're going to be doing some spacewalking.
We got some spacewalking.
Spacewalking.
You are on the moon, for the record, so it could be moonwalking. We've got the Sigurd himself, Tanner Calvert.
Yes, finally back.
Who appears to be vibing.
I was vibing. I'm back in my office. I'm happy. I can be on camera.
That's good. And bringing up the rear, last but not least, is Cruz Cog Zubane, played by Cody Sandusky.
I am the Jedi Baseball Batman.
It's a good game, man. Really underrated.
I thought you were going to say you were Pizza Totino's boy.
Hey, honey, you want to get crazy? You go to Cody's house and watch a pizza roll.
See a pizza roll. In case you missed our most recent episode, it was the very first installment of Episode 9 of Sword of the Empire. Currently, our heroes have made their way to the planet of Praketh and the Prakis system. They believe that Jedi Master Dinya is being held there by the Inquisitorius. And upon arriving, they found themselves attempting at first to help out some stranded folks. Jek Seiko, the pilot of a ship called the Good Feeling. Things didn't necessarily go smoothly, but they went
now,
one way or another.
I'm now remembering what I did. Sorry.
And it's all coming back to him. as we ended that episode, the crew of the Coterie noticed that there were some Minocks attached to the Good Feeling as it left, and shortly thereafter found that their own ship seems to be in peril. Systems are failing, power has all but been shot, and the Minocks are chewing on the power cables. So that's
the
where we
bastards.
Left off our last episode. I'm going to grab a tissue really quick. Does anyone have any questions? I'm listening. I'll answer them when I get right back.
I thought he was going to say, does anybody have any tissue?
I think Minocks attached to the Good Feeling was my favorite Lionel Richie album.
Well, parody time. Let's go. I hope to hear
knows.
That song.
Hunter
all
knows.
Right, well, all of that was useless. So anyway, let's get on with the show.
Go on with the Minocks.
Go on with the Jeopardy. So I'm just going to tell you guys outright the way I'm going to handle this. You're not going to see a map because this is going to be handled as a series of skill challenges, but I do, however, still need you to roll an initiative because I need to know where in the order everyone will be acting and participating here, okay? Ronnie, for the record, the crew of the Coterie, that is your droids. I forgot his name.
Mr. Peanut.
Yeah, well, no.
No, it's not about Raynard Muldrake.
I will never forget Mr. Peanut and Baneland. But Reynard, they can all act on your turn, as far as I'm concerned. That way, you don't have to try to keep up with multiple initiatives. Because that's what I'm going to do for me as well. You know, the villains always act on the same round. So, I'll roll one for Graz. Right. Roll for Graz. Roll for Graz.
Graz.
Well, I got for the record. Fuck me! I didn't get anything. I didn't roll. Cody, don't you have an ability that will...
I do. Does that count in this situation, Game Master?
I would like to...
What was that?
The reroll ability.
Anyone within 12 squares of me can reroll their initiative check at the start of combat, but must keep the result of the reroll.
But it's not combat, is it?
Ooh.
That's what I was about to say, yes.
Yeah. There's a problem there.
Yeah.
I'm going to say no. Okay. I will accept that
ruling, and I will go dead last.
Yeah. 35.
For the record.
Well, hang on. I don't even have... I got to do mine. All right, Graz has 17.
I got to stop drinking whiskey. 17.
That's a good idea.
It is.
I'm going to stop sniffing glue.
Not this week.
I'm gonna roll for Groz first.
Roll for Groz.
That's not a great roll. Roll for the Minox. Also, Minox, also not a great roll. Okay. Groz, I don't know why I would hide it. I can tell you guys it's sitting at a 21. Hirani.
11.
Do I really have the lowest initiative? Yeah, I do have the lowest initiative bonus of everybody. That's incredible.
Which also is the preferred age of Jerry Lawler.
God damn it.
Fresh off the press.
Iris.
15.
Which, 15. Ironically...
Sigurd.
No. Stop it. I should have never said it. 27.
Thank you. Yep. There it is.
I can help out.
27?
27. 27.
Okay.
I miss doing shows.
Okay, Sigurd, you are going to be acting first in the order. In terms of moving about the ship, basically, again, we're going to handle this like a skill challenge. So as far as movement and placement and all that, you got to tell me what you want to do, and we'll manage it from there. What you know right now, from where were you in the ship? Where are you normally in the ship? Like when you're preparing
just
for takeoff?
Hanging out. You're just kind of hanging around crew quarters or... just a lounge area or somewhere like that.
Okay, so we're going to say you're roughly somewhere in the middle of the ship as this is going on. You probably wouldn't have, like, an outside wall, outside access. So what you know is as the crew is prepping for takeoff, the power has gone out around you. The only thing that's on is the emergency lighting, which is just a series of small red lights that only give off just enough so that you can see and you kind of have to adjust to them. Trying to decide if you would know what's actually going on at this moment in time.
Could he sense?
Yeah, we're gonna hand wave it. I don't want you to have to spend turns figuring it out. One way or another, you hear the shouts from the crew or something like that, and you have discerned that there is an issue and that there appears to be something attacking the ship. We'll leave it at that. What would you like to do on your first turn?
So initially I'm going to ignite a lightsaber just as, you know, a little extra light source in the hallways for myself. And then the only thing I could think to do would be to go to the turrets and see if I could see anything from them.
Okay. Yeah, you move to, let's see, you guys have an upper and a lower one, don't you? Which one you want to take?
I'm sitting in one of them, so yep. Whichever.
Which one are you sitting in?
Yeah, where would you go?
I probably would have went to the lower one, because when we left last time, I went to one of the gunner chairs.
Okay, so I'm gonna check the upper then.
We'll say on your way there, and since you would almost directly have to encounter Iris in the process, that's when you find out exactly what's going on.
Okay.
All right. Once you reach the upper dome, like the upper gunner area for the ship, you see that indeed there's at least one Minock attached to that glass. You can see those disgusting suckers that just trying to, like, gnaw its way. Of course, it's not going to get through. Right. That's not really what they're made for. But, yeah, you now know exactly what's ongoing and at least where one of them is located. For your first go-around, I'm going to say move, action, etc. That's probably going to be about as much as you're going to get done in one turn.
Lindsay, behind you. There's one attached to your screen.
It's so gross.
Right.
Kruskog, you are actually second in the initiative order.
Yeah, I what do I do with my hands? I don't really know what to do with my hands.
Hunter, where does he put his feet?
That's you.
Yeah, there you go. That's probably a more accurate.
Stop asking about your feet. Not important.
Oh man.
Hey, listen, if you're gonna be running around, cover those knees up.
Ghouls. Little green ghouls, man.
God. Okay. Sorry, now for whatever reason, my brain's going on all the It's Always Sunny bloopers I've been watching this week. Okay. Kruskog is going to try to find some visual of a Minock. Maybe not in that area, but basically his goal is knowing that with the force powers he has some capability of maybe some distance combat, or lack of a better phrase, distance disabling of these things.
Okay, where were you when the lights went out? This murder mystery continues.
I, seeing as I was like just back on the ship, I assume I would be in what would be considered a common area. I wasn't the cockpit area. I wasn't the gunner seat.
So you and Sigurd were probably in likely the same location.
Right.
He heads off toward the gunner seats, which I'm assuming if it's set up like standard, it's going to be, you know, wish I had a better way of doing this without actually pulling up a map, like from left to right, cockpit, gunner, transition.
Array, right.
Yeah. Common area, quarters, all the technical stuff and storage.
Right.
Not that it's all laid out one, but that's like, I'll give you a general, rough idea for
it. Yeah, going from left, right.
Yeah.
I mean, for best option currently, seeing as Sigurd went down to the gunner area and knowing there's probably nowhere to view anything in the back of the ship, I'm probably going to run up to the cockpit then to be by Harani and Graz.
Yeah, Harani and Graz are already located up there, and they're both, Graz in particular, frantically just throwing switches, trying to put out little fires everywhere. Also, some literal fires. Yes, there are actually some literal fires that he is just like beating away with his palm and paw, for that matter. Yeah, through the cockpit glass, you can see out in the vast expanse of space that there are at least a couple of Minox that are sort of swooping around outside. None of them are currently connected to the cockpit window, but they are making their way around like the ship.
I will, my goal is to resolve that.
Okay.
So, with some of the force powers I have, I'm sitting here trying to think of which one.
Don't you have, Minock Armageddon?
That is not the super, the X power I have.
You should have specced.
Minock Armageddon was the name of my cantina band back in high school.
What style of music is that, Hunter?
No,
that's rock. That's rock music, Tanner.
I hate all of it. Okay.
They didn't. We weren't really into all that jizz like all the other bands.
Son of a
that
bitch.
Time. Son of a bitch. I don't even take a drink, and I got him. I got that ass.
So I gather I've got line of sight, but in terms of perspective in gameplay, how close are these Minox? Because most of my stuff is only 12 square distance.
Yeah, you're close enough.
Okay.
It's fine.
Then I am going to force stun. Go ahead.
Okay, they are moving, for the record, so you are going to be, they're like, it's not standard combat rules where they're, you know, stationary right. while you're making an attack. I'm gonna impose a couple of things on that. But yeah, that's fine. So what are you trying to do? What is this?
Force stun. So what it does, it's a use the force check against their fortitude defense. If it equals or exceeds, they move one step down a condition track, and for every 5 points I exceed it, they go further down.
Hell okay. yeah.
So for basically, I was trying to immobilize them.
Knock them out.
Yep.
Okay.
So 1d20 plus 22. We'll
roll them up.
Good lord.
Well, not much. It's 29.
That's against their fortitude?
Fortitude.
Yeah, that hits.
Okay.
And so now, how does that, how do we calculate
that? So standard,
that?
It is minus one down the condition track if I exceed. For every 5 points I exceed it, it goes an additional step.
Oh. And you rolled a what?
29.
Okay. Yeah, that's going to pretty severely disable one of them. It's not going to, like, knock it unconscious, but I'm going to say it knocks it out of the air, or out of the, you know, space, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
One that goes flying by, I mean, you kind of have to target it. Is this like a hand motion, like a very
wizardy
kind of
thing? Yeah, force stun, so it'd be kind of, if we're going the X-Men route, I'm sitting here like Xavier just doing this kind of stuff.
Oh, so he just snaps his fingers like a...
not that good. I'm not a Jedi master. Yeah, there.
yeah, no. You kind of pinpoint lock onto one. As a matter of fact, one that seems to be making like another run at the ship, looking for something else to chew on. And you catch it before it gets there. It slams into the side of the hull and like wipes down the glass. As a matter of fact, you can see it's like somebody took a tissue and just swiped it all the way down the lens. the color smear that it leaves behind is the color gross.
Well, unpleasant.
I don't have a name for it. Yeah,
that's descriptive enough.
Yep. Yeah, you do that, and that happens. It's not dead or unconscious, but it's hurting.
I did it.
It's in bad shape. Yeah. All right. Graz is next. Dope. I think if it, you guys, I mean, obviously you're always kind of welcome to give me some insight here. Graz really has one of two options. We can either get him in the proper equipment to go outside the ship and start trying to knock these things off, or he can just try to get things up and running so you can get out of there. It's up to you, guys. Whatever you think.
I recall the boys' mechanics checks being not great.
Yeah, is it a mechanics check? What kind of a check is it?
I would say mechanics are going to be necessary at some point, but that's going to be more in the back, wherever the hyperdrive and all that stuff is located. Not that you're trying to jump to hyperspace, but up front, I would say it's a pilot thing. I mean, he's literally just trying to get the right switches in place and see if he can reroute some power and stuff. He's not trying to like go in the guts of the ship. It's more of just where is the power being drained from and where can I reroute it to get us out of here?
Yeah, so I would say at least
pilot check.
I would say the front end, let's do that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well then I am going to quietly have him make a roll, and while we're doing that, we'll just move on. Iris, you're next, because that's going to take his turn to do so.
My initial thing would probably be seeing if I even have any control over the guns, seeing if they can move or not, or whether they're stuck in blaze.
You are quite in luck, because Graz is currently rerouting some power, and he's doing a pretty good job of it. So you're welcome to kind of retroactively do this, to kind of call out to him and tell him where you need power most right now. You guys are all welcome to do this, although he can only do it once per turn. Basically, right now, you can get one thing up and running well to some degree, and that would be gunnery power, so your defenses.
I would rather shoot from inside than going outside if
at all. That was the other one. I don't necessarily, I mean, obviously Graz is our blunt object to do that with. I still don't feel the best about sending our fuzzy boy out into the depths of space if we can avoid it.
Yeah, so basically you've got a handful of things that need to be up and running at full speed at some point in time, from life support to the engines to the weaponry. He can reroute the power to the weapon systems if you want him to try that, while still keeping life support and stuff safe. It's going to make sure, basically, that the engines are going to be... They're going to need some actual major repairs, which might be the case anyway. Right now, you're kind of just rolling the dice on that one. So... Yeah, he can reroute them to the guns, and you'll hear him fire up pretty quickly. You and Kruskog are now in a position to, or not Kruskog, Sigurd are now in a position to actually fire your weaponry and move them normally.
Because if it's working and I've got one in line of sight, I want to take a shot at the sucker.
Yeah, this is more or less a swarm. I mean, at this point, just looking at it, that's how you would probably describe it, because there appears to be groups of them moving in and around the ship in turns. So,
cool.
Yeah.
As
far as taking a shot with that battery, Shannon, you don't happen to have the stats on the coterie handy right there, do you?
I don't have my post-it from way back when anymore, unfortunately.
I've got what it has, but I don't have the stats on it. It's got a laser cannon.
I'm gonna find a handy generic one really quick.
And I have combat thrusters.
Yes, you do. I'm gonna assume you have a medium laser cannon. That makes sense to me. A medium emplacement. Okay. Lindsay, your attack roll is going to be whatever your standard ranged attack roll is, so your base attack plus your dex. Yeah. If you hit, it deals 4d10 times 2 damage.
Okay.
Hunter, what do you think...
Let's see what happens!
What do you think Grom's going to do now that old Balin's dead?
What'd you do to Balin? I got a 29.
Is this true?
Yes. Yeah, that's a hit. Roll that damage. 4d10
and then 4d2. Okay, just times 2.
Yeah, whatever you roll on 4d10, then you multiply by 2.
Gotcha.
Big money. That's not
I didn't write the thing in right, because every week I have to do something wrong because I'm just incapable of rolling.
It's our weekly segment we like to call where did Lindsay miswrite her roles? And when it's over, then we all stop and go, okay, that was great.
So yep.
That was a lovely tea party.
56 damage, man.
It's dead. Yeah, you wiped it out. Yeah, and they're Minox, man. I mean, there's
they feel like Goombas right now.
Well, yeah, Hunter, it's not your knock. It must be my knock.
What's yourn is yourn.
Yeah, since they're swarms, basically once you get that, so the medium laser cannon placement is exactly what you're picturing from the Millennium Falcon. It's the quad laser firing off in repetition, and you just obliterate like five or six of them, basically like knock out a swarm's worth of them. Yeah, totally. It's getting difficult to see at this point because they're splattering back. But it is space, so they're also a lot of it's just kind of globularly floating around, and it's real gross.
Oh, always so good.
Gross. It's so gross. Okay, Hirani.
Like putty.
Oh, I would like to activate.
Just had that.
Yeah.
Yeah, on hand, ready.
I have a thing of silly putty. I'm sorry.
I would like to activate the Coterie's windshield wipers.
There's no power.
Oh.
There's no power for that right now.
Rouse,
I need you to go out of the ship and manually switch those, please.
I want to do. You said earlier that we could possibly do a mechanics to help out in the situation. Is there anything I could do with mechanics to help out in the situation?
Yeah, run to the back and see what the problem is.
I would like to run to the back and see what the problem is.
It's just imagine Hirani as Han just running through the Death Star. It's that, just booking it to the back end of the ship.
And she's quick. She's little. Middle. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like stopping and like doing the hip slide to there.
Dab. Dab.
Dab on the haters while you're back there, too.
dabbing.
Everything is on fire. Everything is on fire. Fortunately, there are no actual holes in the hull, as best you can tell. Minox are not really that, you know, intense. Generally, they just chew on the exterior power cables. But they have definitely severed or messed up something on the outside that is causing some major issues on the inside. A good mechanics check will determine, well, let me just put it this way. Your mechanics check will determine how well you're able to quell that to start.
Let's find out.
You know right now that there are going to be some external repairs necessary as well, too, though, at some point.
So I like that my first roll was a 1. My second roll is a 3. My next roll will be a 5.
Moving on. You have 4 force points, for the record, in case you want to use
them
before I tell you whether or not it's a success.
Okay. I do.
So you'll roll 3d6 and then take the highest of the 3.
Okay.
The you 6. Have a destiny too.
Oh, I got 2 sixes.
Yeah.
No, I don't have a destiny. Yeah.
You do.
Yeah, you do.
No, I used it.
No, you used it because you were.
Oh, you did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad you said that. I didn't
about
actually
that. Yeah, because
okay.
I'm a fair player.
Episode in.
I'm a fair player. Got to be.
That's appreciated.
It's not about. It's not about cheating to win the game, Jesse. It's about having fun.
Yeah, by threatening other life forms.
The initial sight of the guts of the Coterie on fire is a little jarring. Not that you've never seen it before. I mean, there was a period of time where this was like a daily occurrence almost.
Yeah.
But it's been some time, and especially at the hands of something as let's just put it that way, stupid as Minox. I mean, these things they don't actually have it out for you.
Right.
They have no grudge against you. They're just
insects.
Forces of nature.
Yeah.
And they're just doing what they do. So that they did something to cause that much damage is frustrating. Especially because it's also probably hitting Hirani that, like, we didn't have to do this. We didn't have to save this idiot. We didn't have to come and deal with this guy. And now I got this to contend with. So in a moment of clarity, you're able to sort of bring it down, come back to Earth or the moon where you are, and get to work. You manage to stop the bleeding in a pretty significant way. It's not all done, and again, you know for a fact now, after literally putting out a couple of fires and wrenching a couple of things together, just hitting it with some spanner tape and stuff, that you're gonna have to make some exterior repairs, probably even before you leave, definitely more extensive before you leave this system. But for now, things are okay. They're alright.
The kids
fortunately,
are all right.
It is last in line. It's time for the Minox to make a move. So
that was my second favorite Lionel Richie album. It's time for the Minox to make a move.
Actually, to me, that sounds like a Panic at the Disco song where to make a move. To make a move would be in parentheses. It's time for the Minox to make a
move.
Yeah. Anybody on Fuel by Ramen, it fits.
Tanner, hit that jar of honey. I just hit my tooth with the glass.
Yeah, that'll stop you. That'll put an end to it real quick.
Okay.
The Minox are not actually attacking any of you, obviously, because they're not capable of doing so at this point in time, but they are attempting to pretty much attack the ship itself. I'm going to say overall they are able to reduce it by a single step on the condition track. So despite the on and off with Hirani's doing everything she can put to stop to it, you guys are taking out a few of them, they are still swarming fairly hard. And so the coterie is currently at a minus one. It's one step down on the condition track overall. Because again, it doesn't have hit points or like a shield to contend with as far as organic creatures go. But that's all they can do. They can't attack you directly. All they can do is just keep coming after the ship. Even in being attacked, they don't really seem to know what to do with that. They're not coming after the gunners or anything. They're going for the power. They're feeding. They're mosquitoes. They're big, leathery, gross mosquitoes. And we're back to the top with Sigurd.
I'm going to... Yelling, if I yell something to Hirani, it's a free action, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to yell to Hirani to try to make communication with somebody close by, see if they can assist us from the outside. And then, how many of these Minox can I see besides the one on the window?
There's one directly in front of you, which is not going to be something you can, like, hit, really, because it's right there in front of you. But in the background, if you, given a couple of seconds in the time that your last turn ended and this one has begun, you've, I don't know, let's see. You've seen, I'll tell you exactly how many you've seen. You've seen three of them swarm by. You get the idea there are significantly more nearby.
Okay. So when I got to the gunner pit, I'm sitting down, right? I'm in the gunner. Okay. So. Crap. That's going
to. Use the guns.
Well, I need to get the one off of the actual glass.
He's just hanging there.
I mean, for the record, I was going to say, he can't do anything there because he can only drain. They only drain power.
If he's on
the glass, yeah, he's just trying to find somewhere to connect. Like, at any moment, he can move.
Do I have line of sight of anything? Like, is he obstructing my view of anything?
That's the biggest problem, is that he's really just in your way. So you can still shoot, and you can still take some shots. Plus, you got a targeting computer. But it's not really made for things this small, so it is going to be at a small penalty since he's in your way.
Okay, so first thing I'm going to do, I guess, say first thing, is what I'm going to do this round. I'm going to use... force thrust to try to use the force to push this thing off my window.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you can do that.
Okay. I went the Lindsay route. I've got a clipboard now.
Yeah. Do like having a physical character sheet. It's something I've been toying with for this one, too. All this time, I've never printed one out. Lindsay, when you hold that up, it just blends in with your background for the record. And
it's
now
so
can't
funny.
See you.
Well, it blends in, and then you can see the roll 20 reflection. It's trippy. Now, if I do it this way, it just blends in. And then it goes, whoop, it's I'm gone. Whoop, I'm gone.
Holy crap. We're making Harry Potter movies. That's how the invisibility cloak works. Just kind of do it in front of you. You're good.
33.
And that's versus, is that fortitude?
See here, I got it right.
I think the force slam hits fortitude, if I remember correctly.
Force thrust, that's what I was using.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see, 98, I am right here.
Actually, it doesn't matter. We're good. It's okay. Trust me on this. Yes, it's a hit.
Okay.
Yeah. That deals some damage, right? Or does it just move them?
It just moves them back a block unless they hit an object. It only does damage if they hit an object.
Okay. I'm going to say, for our purposes, I mean, you got the landing gear down, you guys are stationary, you push it away, and even though it can fly when it is... To me, Cody, back me up on this, I would follow the D&D rules. If you're knocked prone or hit while you're in the air, you tend to fall.
Yeah.
It's not really flying at the moment that you hit it, but it's connected to the thing. So I'm going to say you knock it off, and it falls off. It falls out of your line of vision. You can still take a shot this round if you want.
Yeah, I'll take a shot. First one I can see.
Okay. So your ranged attack again is going to be whatever your base attack bonus is plus your dex bonus. For you is fairly significant if I remember correctly. Because so your base attack is pretty far up there.
17 plus the 4. So
should be 15 plus the 4. Your base attack's a 15.
My sheet that you sent me has 17.
Oh, yeah. No, sorry, I have the old one. Well, no.
The one you sent me, you had set up at 17.
Why do I have... I guess I didn't save your new ones, because this character's level 15
I never sent you the new one.
That's what it is. I did yours up to 15. Okay, yeah. So yeah, it is 17. You're right, so 21, yeah. You'll add 21 to whatever you roll. You're right.
Baby Jesus. This might hurt a little bit.
Hurt them.
23. Lied.
It still hits, so go ahead and roll the damage. Damage on those guns again is 4d10 times 2.
Get 80.
That'd be great.
If you get 80, I'm giving you a copy of Vanguard. Well,
did not. He got the spread of odd numbers there, though. That was kind of well, except for 7. He missed the 7, but that's it. Yeah, so 36 total. 36 total is good enough to take out a couple of them. Not maybe quite as many as Iris was able to nail in one round, but you are able to kind of break up a swarm. Like, pretty much once that one gets out of your way, you grab the controls and just kind of cut through them with a set of laser fire. And some of them spread in either direction, but the others in front of you drop. Yeah, you wipe out a couple in the process of that. The herd is thinning, let's put it that way. Kruskog, you're up.
We got any more of that herd in front of me?
Herd immunity?
Yeah.
Just like COVID.
I regret saying...
Congratulations to Cape Girardeau for their first Omicron case. Good job.
Oh, good.
We did it.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we're moving fast. That's impressive. It was only metropolitan areas.
Quickly, I need this thing to be over because I'm not interested in learning the Greek alphabet. All right? I'm not. Anyway.
I'm going to be real honest. I've got two uses of force stuns, so we're gonna do that again. Run it back. I guess, is there anything in front of us? I guess I should ask first.
Yeah. And the one that you nailed the last round is still stunned and trying to get moving again. So you can try for that one again, or you can try to hit a different one.
I'd hit a different one.
Yes, yeah, so that's something I'd like to do as well.
Okay.
Let's do another force roll.
How you going to do that force roll?
35.
Yeah, that's a good one. And it's every 5 over is another space?
Correct.
Yeah, that one's done. Yeah, you wipe it out in one solid roll. This thing comes flying by, and it's almost like these guys are using targeting computers, you're using the force. You let go. In fact, if anyone was watching, they'd see you kind of close your eyes for just a second and almost latch onto this thing through the force, and you hear like a and it just collapses to the moon.
Okay, I'm glad I'm not the only one that saw that. Thank you, Tanner.
What did I just miss?
I wasn't paying attention.
I was watching Hunter.
I'm assuming it was a dust, but it was a huge dust particle, just an orb just went straight across me. And Tanner saw that too. Yeah, like right in front of me here. And I was like, because I went, what the fuck? And then I saw Tanner going with his water. And I'm like, okay, someone else saw it. Thank God.
Kruskog, you still have like, non-attack actions if there's anything else that you want to do.
What I'm trying to think of is I have something that I've been waiting to use.
Well, you could use somebody.
I could. So here's the thing. I have Force Shield, which is a reaction. Oh, no, we talked about only using one Force Power per turn. Never mind. That is something in the back of my pocket, though.
Noted. Yep. Anything else?
Nope. Right now, okay. Standing by, waiting for more.
Harani, since you did some work mechanically last round, Grosnell, once again, has pretty much the same set of options. You guys can send him out, try to take some of the Minox off the actual, hull of the ship, or he can attempt to, reroute some power again, maybe not just get the guns up and running, but also maybe get the engines at least back online so that they can take off soon. Up to you.
Yeah, I would do that.
Yep, let's do that. Okay. We'll make a pilot check. That's pretty good.
That's good.
Yeah. Basically, Groz is just like directly focused on the console, and as things start lighting back up as having power and being capable, he starts flipping switches, pulling levers, and getting some actual power, not just into the guns and not having to divert them away from that, but also getting the engines back up and online.
Right.
You get the idea that within a round or two at most, if things keep going this way, you should be able to at least take off. Iris, you're up.
Clearly, I want to take another shot at the swarms to try and get rid of more.
Shut up. Sorry.
For the record, there's very little now swarming around the outside of the ship that you can see, like, not connected to it, which is both good and bad. There's less coming. There's more or fewer of them, you know, coming to take a bite out of the coterie. But at the same time, it's not clear how many of them are actually still on the ship's hull.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's good enough for a hit. Roll some damage.
All the nights did not have my contact 40. In.
Yeah, no, that's more than enough to pretty well take out the remaining ones that you can see anyway. Minox are dropping like flies at this point. Again, the ones that you can see that are not actually connected to the ship itself.
Fair enough.
Anything else?
Well, if I have anything else that would help or not.
Basically, at this point, you're looking at non-combat stuff.
Yeah.
As far as actions. I mean, you could, you just can't make another attack, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Yeah. I think I'm gonna sit tight for the moment and go from there.
Okay. Then Harani, it's you.
I'm assuming Harani has some knowledge of these creatures, right?
Mm-hmm. You want to call upon that?
Yeah, because I'm just kind of curious if there's anything I can do through the ship to help with this. Like, maybe either cut certain power so that they have nothing to feed on, or maybe overcharge it so I could try to fry them, you know, something like that.
Yeah. make a knowledge check. Yours are all generic, as I recall.
So yeah, yeah.
This is technically knowledge of, like, biology, life sciences, but... Okay.
That's not bad.
No, 27 is good enough to note that, yeah, basically both of the things you talked about are viable options. The question at this point will be who's going to handle it, because once you get the power up and running, cutting it from where you are with the ship in such a fragile state would be a bad idea. Now, Groz rerouting it would be a totally different option. Where you decide to put that power is going to determine what they can and can't feed on. However, you could also try to overclock it. And get this thing not just up and running, but to, from your end, basically divert all power to one specific spot. Probably your shields would be your best bet for that, because your shields in general are meant for laser fire and ranged attacks. Overclocking it might be enough of an energy hum to at least dislodge them, if not actually fry them.
But I'm assuming I can't do that right now. That was my turn, right?
Oh, no. You're just making a knowledge check. You can still at least, if you're wanting to make a mechanic check, you can still at least try to get more things up and running so that you can add more power to the system.
Okay, so can I do that and then yell at Groz basically what you just said, that's the plan? We're going to try to shock these little bastards off?
Yeah, totally. All
right, and I'm going to do a mechanics to try to get more stuff up and running well. 26.
Yeah, that's good enough. It's just over the line. You spend a little bit more of your time than you anticipated trying to recall exactly how these things work and you know what they feed on, but like specifically what's going to be best to work against them. So it takes a little more time to come up with the plan than you have to fully execute it. But yeah, you're pretty much cranking away at everything that's available to you to add additional power to the system. Again, it's spit and gum at this point holding this thing together in the back, but at least there's no breaches in the hull. You can move without breaches in the hull, and that's the key point.
Right.
And then Groz, after you yell commands, you hear like a amidst all the zapping and popping and little hisses of steam and such. Yeah. All right. The Minox. We're going to see what they're capable of. Not much this round.
Two fly into each other and knock them out. It's crazy. They're like,
yeah, whatever.
They're idiots.
Whatever scenario you imagine, that's kind of what happens. what you can see. Of course, you still are not entirely sure what is and isn't connected to the system, to the ship. The sensor systems are not fully up and running, but of course, things are probably better than you're imagining. At the very least, the flurry of activity outside the ship seems to have come to, if not a standstill, then a very it's much quieter than it was before. Put it that way. Back to the top of the order with Sigurd. Sigurd, there are no currently available targets for you from your gunner's position.
So I want to go back to kind of a central location of the ship. Okay. Somewhere where I'm kind of, which I guess I just basically climbed down the ladder and I'm in the center of the ship.
Yeah, pretty much. That'll take you almost right back to the common area.
So one of the use the force checks I had, use the force, was sense surrounding.
Mm-hmm.
So this last upgrade or last level up, I get to took a new force technique, which is improved sense surrounding, which means basically I get to use the force for sense surrounding as a free action.
Okay.
So that's what I'm going to do now. As standing there, I want to sense the surroundings of the ship, see if I can sense how many may be attached to it or how many are around us still.
Yeah.
You could sense
it's still
somebody.
A little difficult. Because I was reading just to make sure, it's still going to be a little difficult because they have basically total cover. You can't like literally see them because that would be seen through walls. But it doesn't mean it's impossible. Through the force, all things are possible. So yeah, make a check.
I'll play some Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Well, but I like.
He's cooking up something.
So, Hunter, I found something interesting.
For the record, it's a skill
check.
You can auto fail. And you're still sitting on a treasure trove of force points. You got five of those.
Yeah, I'm going to use one of those.
Okay. For the record, also, too, you can only use one of those per round. So this will be your one force point per round.
Yeah.
You're down to four.
So I will say this real quick. When I was searching through the files of Vanguard, I found if you do private matches, there's an option for cranked and all other kinds of things. So I'm wondering if they're going to put that in there pretty soon. Okay, that's all.
Ooh, that'd be nice. Okay, so we're adding a 5 to get a 17 before 22 is the total then. Hang on a second. Oh, never mind. Yeah, you would have needed that. I was going to say it was only a DC 15 because it's set by the book, but then it was increased because they had total cover. So now you're good, yes. Yeah, you now know that there are... I'm going to roll a die for it. Oh! You guys have lucked out two times in a row. There is precisely one Minox remaining connected to the ship. You guys were cutting them up with the guns more than you thought that you were. And in sensing them, you're a little surprised. As a matter of fact, you take a little longer. I'm not going to penalize you on your turn for it, but you take a little longer to kind of really, you know, strain and reach through the force. There's one, and he's almost directly above where Harani is located because he's in the midst of trying to get right down to the main core power.
Okay. I'm really limited on what I can do now because for Slam, I have to have line of sight.
Yeah, but you just pulled off a pretty big little coup there, so... Even if you ended your turn there, that's still pretty significant.
So I'm definitely going to use another free action to alert the rest of the crew members that we are down to one.
Yeah.
Point them in a general location of where they may be at in hopes that, say, Graz decides to go out and do some work, he can take care of that problem.
This is Harani's eyes toward Graz at that moment.
And that's why I'll end my turn.
Then Grisgog, you're up. The two Jedi are going first. I just realized that.
Yeah, this never happens.
Back-to-back Jedi.
Yeah.
Usually if it's back-to-back, that's because Tanner's at the top of the order and Cody's at the bottom.
Absolutely right. It's a very odd feeling. So much so that because I'm never in this position, I don't know what to do in this early portion of the initiative. I'm used to reacting to other people.
What do I do with my dice?
Cody, right,
what do I do with my force powers?
He's been very successful during this whole show. He doesn't know how to handle that.
I was going to say it. Stop. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, the Kruskog system has not been in effect. I wasn't going to say it. Oh, what? No.
Don't jinx it.
Well, because now you're on the Zubane system, and I don't know how that works.
Oh, please. You give me about 15 don't minutes. Don't bring that back up. Yeah, here's the thing. I'm much like Tanner. Everything that I have is line of sight in terms of force powers. So I don't know there's much I can...
Well, get out there, boy.
Mean? Yeah, that's,
look, I know
that's
you,
an option.
I know you Jedi can float through space. I saw episode whatever it was with Leia. I don't remember. Yeah.
And look, if it doesn't... Here's the thing, Cody. If it doesn't work out, then I'm sure Kruskog, someone with his qualifications, would have no trouble finding a top-flight job in, you know, either the food service or housekeeping industry.
Quit better combat than this. Midnight Coterie, what do you want? Yeah, you know, I'm actually okay with that. Because Graz is better served working on the ship itself, Kruskog is okay to put himself in a position to go outside and try to clear this one loose.
Spacewalk.
Okay. Yeah, it's not a significant enough issue to worry about in terms of gravity and all that. As long as you've got a rebreather, you're good. It's Star Wars, man. Putting anybody outside a ship and getting too in depth on that gets ridiculous.
Right.
So we're gonna basically just follow the we're gonna follow. Hey, she had the Force, man. She's good.
So does Scooty.
We're gonna follow the old Han Solo rules. Well, most of them actually went outside the ship when they were inside the thing in Empire. So,
yeah.
Yeah. A little mask, you're good to go.
Cool.
Wear your mask, Kruskog.
Well, Kruskog doesn't believe in masks. He doesn't think they actually help.
I really wish you wouldn't mandate me to wear a mask. I've got personal rights.
He went to get a mask and he just pulled a bandana up over his nose like it's fine.
He's got natural immunity to no gravity and no air. So.
Too many of the dirt library employees I work with do,
Oh, the Dirt Library was the name of my fucking hipster band.
There it is. Playing nothing but the B-sides of Elvis Costello records.
Nothing but the worst songs. And that's how they like it.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so if we're going outside the ship, Kruskog will for a brief moment think, I do have a light whip that I don't get to use, but he's also going to very quickly reconsider saying, I'm in the middle of Empire space. Let's maybe not do that thing.
I mean, fortunately, again, you're on a mostly uninhabited, like in the immediate area, it kind of actually looks like Luna, like our moon. It's mostly uninhabited. It is like a side space from people making their way in toward Braketh. These guys didn't land there intentionally.
Right.
That you dealt with originally, so which is also part of the reason that Minox are infesting the place. They don't have anybody regularly going down there and sweeping the place.
Deterring them, right.
Right.
Because I've got use for it, I'm gonna go ahead and force grip this Minox on the ship.
Okay. That's something you can try.
He likes to be choked, Daddy.
Oh, God. Yeah, it made it weird. I had to fucking make it weird.
Did you enjoy?
No, it's the thing's name is Daddy. Actually,
hey, Nat 20.
Oh, whoa!
Oh, good Lord. You know what? I know it's not an attack roll, but like, how you want to do it? I mean,
I would have to imagine. Yeah, it's 66 of damage. I'm almost certain. Yeah. So yeah, we'll Kruskog, instead of just necessarily choking the life out of it, because that seems a bit cruel even for him in this kind of situation, believing what he does that Minox are very gross creatures. He's kind of creeped out by them, like Cody is with spiders in real life. He's going to grab that thing and to maybe do a bit of mercy, twist to break, and throw it out into space.
Yeah, so to add a little cinematography to all of this... To back up around, I imagine it like this. Sigurd becomes very aware that nothing is in his immediate area. He makes his way out of the gunnery position, and already he's trying to sense his surroundings. When he gets a clear-cut idea that there's only one left, very calmly he's off over the comlinks immediately. There's only one, and it's in this location. Kruskog, in that moment, grabs a mask. You know, everybody's coming over the comlinks. Herati's like, hey, I'm a little busy back here. You can hear the fire extinguisher like constantly going off. Groz is just, and you can hear the switches flipping left and right. As Iris is trying to, you know, clamber down as well and get into place, Kruskarg is already, like, hitting the button, heading outside, slamming it shut behind him, sees this thing, and they're all going, why don't you, this constant din of going, I don't know what to do, what do you want me to do? And just very calmly grips it, takes it, and like you said, hucks it out into space. In that moment, everyone else on the ship happens to see this thing just silently drifting by in the background. Kruskarg re-enters the ship and just takes off the mask. It's done.
It's done.
The thing is done. The thing is done.
He ripped and tore.
Until the work was done.
I already did it.
What'd you do?
Damn it.
Everything.
He helped you.
It's done.
I helped you.
You did it all.
I love that we all just do some random part of that bit and we all know exactly what we're talking about.
Yep.
The greatest episode they ever filmed.
It really was the greatest part of one episode.
Right, yeah, thank you, the whole episode.
Okay, so in terms of initiative, we're done there. As far as combat, for lack of a better term, is concerned, it is over. It doesn't mean you're out of the woods yet. Hirani can tell you specifically, and Groz can as well, that while the ship is in better condition, it's still not exactly perfect. There are
Make
lots
my way
of power...
back to help Hirani.
Okay. There are lots of power fluctuations just in general. Overall, the ship appears to, in terms of game mechanics, be about halfway down on the condition track at this point. So it's going to need some, not necessarily extensive repairs, but maybe some lengthy repairs. It's going to need some time. And getting it up and running off of this rock is going to take a little bit as well. Groz can get the party started on some of that. Yeah, that's pretty good. He's got a plus 17 to his pilot. So 28 will be enough to at least for him to kind of call out over the comm, and he's not thinking about his buttons at all. He's just, and you can feel the ship starting to lurch. It appears that he's trying to get you off of this rock as soon as possible.
Well, Mr. Peanut can always translate if need, if possible, if need.
Oh yeah, I kind of forgot he was there. He would, if you ask him to do so, he would say that Groz basically said, "We're moving. Buckle up." Or some form of that, basically.
I'll tell Kruskarg twice. He'll find in the nearest seat and strap in.
Hirani, she's going to ask Groz, do you want me to work on this, or you want me up there?
Without getting through all the, just to kind of hand wave it. He says, no, actually, he comes back with, and Mr. Peanut says to you specifically, madam, it appears that Groznik has responded, you can't do any more good back there.
Son of a bitch. All right.
That's what you get. Oh, man.
I miss my friend from the academy, Porkins.
Oh, you mean that one that was eating cheeseburgers while they were going through the briefing?
He was so fat.
Porkins!
His name was Porkins! Oh my God!
Was Porkins.
The only overweight man in Star Wars, and his name was Porkins. Other than Jabba. He wasn't a man.
He wasn't a man. Well,
he was a slug.
In the extended version, originally he was, anyway.
A man in fur. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. After this lengthy situation, the coterie sputters back to life and manages to get off the rock and on its way. It is Hirani in particular, reminiscent to you of the days of the original ship, of it being kind of in bad shape. This is what it was like.
It was
to
used.
Fly that first
yeah, it was
around.
Cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Heavily it was rust.
Heavily used.
Making your way back into the space lane, you're waved through automatically because you guys were already cleared for landing on Braekith, and heading toward. And this is where it gets confusing. So the Prak system then has the planet Praekith and several others, and the main area on Praekith is known as Prak City. So it's kind of like the city, county, and state of New York. It's that thing. Oy. Where they're all very similar.
Oh, good.
But the coterie, at least, is finally on its way. As you finally make your descent toward Prak City, If the Empire was looking for a more forbidding world to exploit, they could hardly have selected a better one, in case you were wondering. Praketh is a planet of tortured ridges, of jagged canyons, sandy gullies. It could give everything from Utapau to Tatooine a run for its money.
I'm about to say Tatooine right now.
Yep, in the galaxy's most desperately bleak world contest.
Fuck.
From the atmosphere, once you actually make it toward the planet's surface, you can see a rugged mountain range far off to the west, which Mr. Peanut, I'm sure, is quite content to go through. He gets into his tourist mode, into basically educating everyone on the area. So he's kind of narrating all of this aloud. Imagine all of this, but in his voice. It makes much more sense than coming from me. He will identify that for you as the Magrador Range. Nestled within, you can see a towering obsidian spire that is well known now to be that of the Citadel Inquisitorius. reaching that at this point in time would be suicide, basically. There is a sentry wing of TIE fighters that is currently on its way directing your ship far to the east and toward Prax City itself. The city is seated atop a plateau, which offers the pretty much largest unbroken patch of land on the planet without, you know, craggy situations and such. Prax City is about equal portions frontier town and military base, so it's not exactly high tech in about half of it anyway. The military base, though, it's pretty clear, is winning. There are large Imperial vessels that are docked at the city's eastern spaceport, which towers over smaller supply and prospecting vessels that use the same pads. The appearance and jobs might differ, but all of them have the same purpose at this point, which is bending the planet to the Emperor's will. You are directed toward a similar area to land, and it is becoming clear that the shadow of the Empire is now going to be looming large over you. So make whatever preparations you need to do so before you depart.
And that's where we cut it off.
Sorry.
If we're to save any headache, Kruskog is going to find that that foot locker in his portion of the ship. He's going to deposit that light whip. He has no desire to have that thing on him when he's walking around with Empire.
He don't want to keep that thing on him.
Nope, he's good with his other tools.
Make
sure the hood is nice and taut over the top of his horns, because he knows, again, as normal, while the Empire doesn't really care so much about Zabrax all the time, he doesn't want to make himself known if at all necessary.
Yeah, I was going to ask, you know, as a Twi'lek, if this is going to be an issue for me, or the rat girl.
I'm definitely taking advantage of having a cloak or something from previous...
our beloved rat boy.
I'm not a rat.
I find that offensive.
Iris, what I tell you about
on the ship?
No.
Yes. So just to address that, while it's obviously not the worst idea anytime you're confronted with the Empire, this planet in particular is a lot more reminiscent of Nizen with the Nazarene uprising that you guys dealt with a while back ago. There are still a great deal of alien species moving about. And at this point, since the Empire is still kind of trying to colonize the area, they are obviously trying to weed them out slowly but surely, but they're also kind of caught between a rock and a hard place of needing them as cheap sources of labor. So they're not as content to just up and run everyone off until they get everything they want, and then, of course, they're going to be more likely to. That's like the last thing on the checklist. Get what you want from them, then get rid of them after the fact.
Also, like, wanted criminals amongst them, though.
Is the much bigger issue, yes. Yeah, you guys' faces are plastered on every, you know, truck stop door from here to the end of the galaxy.
I have my goggles also this time around.
Yeah, anything you can do to even, you know, approximately conceal your identity is not a bad idea. Graz has taken to, it's the best, you're going to love this. So, no. Normally he wears the bandolier on this side.
Yeah.
He moved it to the other side.
Oh, that's really good. That's really good.
With his bow tie.
Is there anything... Right. Anything?
He's come to like the bow tie.
Is there anything that Muldrick can do to contribute to this, since him being a former Imperial agent?
Ooh. make a knowledge check. It doesn't have to be from him. It can be Hirani's.
Actually, let me look and see if he has a knowledge. I don't think he does, but...
Kruskog,
He has tactics. Like to, but
yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I would include tactics. To me, is strictly combat. Battle,
yeah.
So yeah, the art of war type stuff.
I've got a. It was on a 20, and then it went to 2.
Oh.
I don't want to be a pirate.
I want to be a pirate.
I want that young girl.
Damn it!
Oh no, it's
full circle shit.
The problem is that
he's
general
made.
Imperial stuff is kind of straightforward. This is not just the Empire. This ain't your daddy's Empire. You know, it's not just the classic, you know, stormtroopers and navy and all that. I mean, you're now on the home planet of the Citadel Inquisitorius. If you thought that the Amici Spire was bad news, this is that times 10. So this is very much the old religion, old ways part of the Empire. What's going to work against the standard, you know, shock troops is not necessarily going to work against the ones that can literally read your mind. So,
oh, sweet Jesus.
It's all kind of a crapshoot. Yeah.
Harani wants to pull out the helmet that she had made for her by Professor Xavier that prevents the Inquisitors from reading her mind.
Man, I forgot I gave her that. Yeah, that was stupid on my part.
Yeah, well, hey, you made the bet.
You gotta play by the rules, though, man.
Harani's gonna do the same thing, just for the record. Hood up, goggles on, because she was used to hiding anyway, because, you know, the celebrity stuff. So, yeah, she's going
talking about direct con and painting his face like Danhausen, as shown in the picture attached to the chat. I want to be very
and
nice, very evil.
My toys.
I mean, Cruz Cog is typically cursed, so.
Goddamn Danhausen, I can't.
I'm sorry, I love Danhausen. I've been watching so much Danhausen stuff the last few months.
I love Dalton Castle, too. They're both really good.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He's okay, the peacock. Sigurd is going to be proactive in trying to hide his identity. He's going to shave. He's going to cut his hair off as quick as he can. He's going to try to change his appearance up completely.
So he looks like Frank in the episode where he shaves all the hair off because he wants to be pure.
You just want to be pure.
You wants to be
see, in
pure.
My head, I was thinking about when they do the flashback and he has the hair. How old are you, kid? I'm 19. You don't look a day over 12.
Oh,
man.
Oh,
I can't. All right, with everyone suitably.
Also, force point recovery. Does that the encounter we just had? Does that count towards using my point force point recovery?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, so I'm back to 5.
Yeah, I'll give it back to you.
Can I have one?
No, no, you may not.
No force point for you.
Man, point
with
Nazis.
Everyone suitably at least you know to some degree. Disguised or making an effort to hide their blatant criminal activities. The ship has been cleared to land. You've landed. You're welcome to make your way off it whenever you are ready. So you guys let me know when you're ready and you have what you want.
Are they going to be okay with a Twi'lek carrying a weapon? Like, is this like the Old West where everyone's walking around with blasters on their side? Or are they going to confiscate those things?
No,
yeah, you can think of it. Stop your sentence at Twi'lek.
I almost a year is enough of a time to not worry about spoilers. Do you remember the first episode of the second season of the Mandalorian? The one where, what's his name? The guy we all love was the guest star, and we thought he was Boba Fett, but then he wasn't.
Timothy Oliphant.
Actor. Thank you. Yeah, the place that he was like the sheriff of.
Yeah.
It's like that on a grander scale. Same kind of concept. So it is a little bit Wild West.
Okay.
A little bit law. It's not lawless, you know, because you've got the Empire there. But again, you've got like work camp city, Imperial base. This one's encroaching onto this one. Like every day, it becomes more and more militarized.
Harani is going to Sigurd. Are you also taking your lightsaber or no?
Yes, I'm going to hide mine down the front of my pants.
Son of a bitch! Good Son Lord. Of a bitch! All right. Well, Harani is going to look
I'm
at
whip this out.
Harani's going to look at Kruskog.
Actually, I better get too.
It's a very quiet moment as Kruskog is getting ready to leave. She just stands in front of him, stares at him, and she looks cute for once. Usually she looks angry. And she hands him her blaster / lightsaber combo. Since it looks like a blaster, they're not going to suspect it. And he can still carry his lightsaber. Or a lightsaber. Is that allowed? Can he use my lightsaber?
Yeah, he won't get the bonus for using his own created one, but that's right. Like a plus one, I think.
So she's going to trust it to you. It's called the Jedi Killer. Don't take that personally right now.
What right color, now, as what opposed to blade? Before and after.
What color is the blade?
Red.
Yeah.
That's going to help.
Yes, it is.
That's going to help.
Is that what is it? Yeah.
The question is it red because of some sort of hatred? Is it synthetic? Nobody knows.
Am I going to actually purify this thing if I whip it out?
Oh, don't do that. She needs the red saber. Or turn it purple, because that's my bad motherfucker.
No, Moroccan bad Kermit.
I'm going to turn it pink. Ooh.
She'd be fine with that.
Once everyone has what they need and is set to go, upon exiting the coterie again, you're almost like right dead center between base and work encampment, where the spaceport is located. Now, as you're exiting, you can see, and I assume you have like a little droid crew that like works on stuff, right? Well, they do, actually. I should say the spaceport does. Those guys come rushing in and damn near knock you over, because you can now look back and actually see the outside of the coterie, and it looks bad. It looks real bad. It's bad news. Like can see the scoring.
Is this Imperial, you know, Imperial workers?
They're like little droids. Again, okay. Mandalorian, the little crew that they had out, the little kind of Yoki type guys. Yeah, it's that kind of thing.
Okay.
And they are scrambling all over the ship, just trying to do what they can.
Thanks, boys.
With your backs turned to the rest of the port and looking at the ship, you all at once, all of you hear, "What the hell is that thing?" And turning, you see a man in full Imperial Navy dress, and a few others following along behind him, pointing at it, marching toward you all. And that is where we're going to stop.
Son of a bitch.
So happy I have a gun for this. Thanks, Harani.
It's not a gun. You flip the switch and it's a lightsaber. It's got a switch. She showed you the switch.
It's not a switch. Never sure.
The Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
Right. All right.
OLED.
Guys, as always, thank you so much for joining us. We are planning on being back, I think, at this point next. Are we back on Tuesday? Are we good on Tuesday?
Yeah.
we'll talk about it. We'll get it sorted out. As we mentioned, I think it was on the previous episode when we started episode 9. Going forward, until we finish Auto Defiance, it's going to be a little bit random, especially this time of year. It just happens. You get close to the holidays and what day this happens.
Chaos occurs.
Do our best to kind of let you know in advance when we know for sure what we're doing. But again, I kind of forgot that we were playing today.
Right.
Because it wasn't our normal time as per usual. So what I'm getting at is, don't bank on the Tuesday thing anymore, okay? Keep an eye on the page. Keep an eye on the socials, and we'll try to let you know as best we can when the show's coming up. But it's still happening all the way to the bitter end.
Hey, speaking of
beyond
shows.
Beyond that, yeah, what else is, I was going to say, what else is going on this week?
Well, we had an all-new episode of The Nerdiest Part of the Ring over with Asa and Dalton, so go check that out. That's obviously not Podzilla 1985 exactly, but that's our brothers, and we want to support them, so go check them out. A new episode of No Turning Back went up today, talking about the gun violence in America in the past week, including the Michigan school shooting and the Arizona cop that shot the man in the wheelchair in the back 9 times. That's a fascinating story. Next week, execution. Next week, we're going to have a fun time, because we'll be back with an all-new episode of PZ85 Plays. I'm thinking we might do a special, maybe 30-minute episode of Pro Wrestling Unscripted, because the thing I had an idea for, after what happened on last week's Raw, where, I don't know if you saw this, but they incorporated the fired wrestlers into the storylines in an absolutely disgusting show of just completely not caring about people's lives. I want to talk about
that promo between Edge and The Miz. Is that what you're talking about?
And Liv Morgan and Becky Lynch, where Liv told Becky, you know, my friends got fired because you got a fat contract, which is a lie. They got fired because WWE is just a hive of villainy and scum. So I want to talk about
the villainy that's gross. Scum.
The things I hate most about WWE. It's a themed episode. I think we might do that on Wednesday. And then Thursday, it's an all-new Podzilla After Dark, where we're going to talk about our Spotify playlist, and we're also going to talk about scalpers and how they're going to affect this Christmas season. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Apple Music, Pokemon playlist. Celebrations.
Apple Music, too.
You have Apple Music.
Just me.
Spotify rap for me.
It's I'm gonna have to do what I as a little preview. I'm gonna have to do what I did last year because mine is still dominated by a couple of things that are not things I actually listen to regularly. So I'll talk about that then. But this should hopefully be the last year that that is the case,
right?
And we'll get to it. But yeah, another episode of PZ85 Plays coming your way this week. If not on Tuesday, then soon. Keep an eye out, and we'll find out what's happening here in this scum or hive of scum and villainy that is Pricketh.
Watch this space.
Watch this. That's right. Watch this space. Guys, as always, again, thank you so much for tuning in. Catch up on all the old episodes, podzilla1985.com, and here on the Facebook page. You got a lot to do. If you're going somewhere for the holidays and you need something to listen to, you can listen to the entire, probably over 100-hour saga of Dawn of Defiance at this point.
And what a story it's been. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, there's been a lot to go back and check out. Believe me, if you've been here since the beginning, you're the only ones that are still here, because I would commend anyone who would start now and actually get caught up on every episode.
So a big thank you to Michaela Minton and Brian Tanner. Love you.
Yes, yeah. Thank you guys. And Zach Kyrgios. Kyrgios has been
following. Oh, yeah. Well, he already gets love. Yeah. He doesn't need us to
see. I was going to say, Kyrgios is like my biggest fan at this point. I love it.
Boxdorfer has been following along, too, just on the lives.
Who?
Boxrufer.
Yeah, he'll be crust, stupid baby.
No, I'm trucking right now. I'm trucking. When you don't truck. Y'all remember Derek Box?
Went down to Kink anyway. Rose.
Do you need medical attention? All right. We're out of here, guys. As always, thank you so much for joining us. Until next time, for Shannon, for Lindsay, for Tanner, and for Cody, I am your Game Master Double H. May the Force be with you, and we'll see you soon. Later.